This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Ah, can't you see it? A sparkling roadside EV quick charge power facility. It's chargers, control panels, and switchgear powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean. We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We're now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
That's Connor McDavid, scored the winning goal. Canada wins the Four Nations 3-2. Now, will there be another Four Nations? I don't know. They have the Olympics next year, and then in 2 years after that, it's the World Cup, and it looks like the World Cup's going to be, and the Olympics are going to be every 2 years, obviously.
Yeah, they'll be alternating.
Yeah, which is going to be great. I mean, this was amazing. It really was, and I don't think anybody in their wildest dreams thought that this tournament would take off and turn into what it did. And a lot of that was because of what happened in the first game Saturday night with the United States, the Canada game with the fights and how great that game was.
Yeah, but I mean, okay, so if we're going to call it an all-star break, you had all of the best, not all of them, because I know Russia wasn't in, there's other countries. And when you get to eight teams, right, in that tournament, you're going to have more of the best players in the world.
Mm-hmm.
A vast majority of them playing in that tournament. And they're playing with such an energy that it makes it interesting. Whereas in whether it's the NBA and the NFL, kudos to them, they at least realized there's no energy in this game.
No.
There's nothing in this game, so let's just get rid of it. And you could debate about the whole flag football thing. They've at least gone a completely different direction. And the only other one that's similar to a regular season game would be Major League Baseball's,
yes,
All-Star game.
Right. And that's even changed a little bit. Not the actual game. The game is still the basic game, but as far as participation, it used to be, you know, the pitchers for the All-Star game would pitch three innings, the starters.
Right.
Now the rosters are expanded. You know, they want to try to get everybody to play and all that, which that's fine. But as long as you're not screwing with the game.
Right. And when those pitchers are out there, They're pitching with some juice.
Right. The NBA, as we saw, you know, they tried something different this year. It didn't work. They tried something the year before. It hasn't worked. And it's the player's responsibility, basically, if you're going to have an All-Star game, to make it palatable to your audience. And the NBA All-Star game, really, to use the cliche, jumped the shark. And I think when Kobe retired, because Kobe wanted to win.
Right.
You had guys who wanted to win. You know, even before Michael wanted to win, Isaiah, those guys, they wanted to win the game. Yeah, there wasn't much defense played early in the game, but the fourth quarter, especially was close, became real. It was almost like must-see TV in the fourth quarter of NBA All-Star games back in the day. Now it's a joke.
Right.
And the players have to defend themselves, and they can't because they realize it. So the thing about the Four Nations, as how good it was, and how many eyeballs, it's going to be interesting to see when the ratings come out, because Saturday night's game got really good ratings.
Oh, yeah.
So this will, too, you would assume. I wonder, because the NBA on TNT was on at the same time. I wonder what had better numbers.
I'll tell you, it was hockey.
I hope so.
Oh, I would almost guarantee it was the hockey game. versus, I mean, most people didn't even know the NBA was back yet.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, and some of that's locally here, right? Because the Pistons don't play until tonight.
Right.
So, and we knew that. But I would guarantee that most sports fans, because of the way the NBA has marketed itself and the way the NBA game is trending in terms of popularity, that most people were watching the hockey game last night. Even, you know, fans that aren't hockey fans, they're just sports fans. They wanted to see at least, you know, the beginning of the game.
Yeah.
And watch a little bit of the intensity to start things off.
They wanted to see if the anthems were going to get booed and all that.
Oh, sure.
Stuff.
Yeah. There was drama. It was compelling TV. And what was compelling about the NBA last night? That's why nobody knew. There was nothing that compelled you to turn on an NBA game.
No, you know what was cool? I turned on TNT for a second during a commercial. It was before the hockey game started, because they started. And Barkley was on the desk wearing a USA hockey jersey.
Yeah. So, and honestly, that's what's compelling about watching anything about the NBA on national TV, is watching Kenny, Shaq, and Charles.
More people. It's funny. I think Kevin Durant might have even alluded to it, or somebody else did. People are more entertained or interested in people talking about the NBA and the off season and free agents and the trades
than they are
watching the NBA, especially the regular season. The playoffs is a different story. I get that. But that's sad.
Oh,
the NBA soap operas that take place, you know, during the off season with trades and all that, and people are fascinated by that. But once the ball goes up, nobody cares.
Right.
Stoney, I think that there's fatigue to that off season stuff, that there's been too much of it.
Maybe, but
like, I think it's wearing on people, like, you know, just the hopping around, the trying to put together super teams. I think people are tired of it. I think it was, you know, it started with LeBron and the Heat, really.
Yeah.
And I think people are just, like the Suns, it didn't work, you know? And I think the NBA has credibility issues. Well, I think that's the broad problem.
When you, especially the first couple of days of free agency, right, and then somebody comes out and says, well, the NBA dished out, you know, $2.1 billion in the first 48 hours of free agency, most everybody is looking at going, that's billions with a B, and we don't even care to watch these players? Like, how can they afford... Where's the money coming from? We all know what it is. It's all TV money, and it's advertising and all that. And it's an international game. It's a global game. So you're getting money more than just in the States. But everybody's looking at it going, okay, we can't relate to that. And we can't relate to these players who aren't going to play all the time. How many times have we seen, you know, the Joel Embiid? How much money he has made by sitting on the bench?
Oh, I know.
It's over $120 million in games that he's never played in.
And you have guys even less than that, different reasons, like Ben Simmons. I mean, he still gets... I mean, the guys, it's a joke.
No, but I just think when you start combining all these things, the fatigue from the off-season soap operas,
right,
the fatigue from load management, I think that around the same time that the LeBron put the Heat together and all that was when salaries just went ridiculous. And average players are making $20 million a year. And I think there's a boiling point for people where it's just kind of like, and then they go out there and they're not competitive every night. Like,
right.
I think the reason the Four Nations was a success, because a lot of people criticize it, including myself ahead of time. Why are you doing this and taking a 2-week absence? Well, guess what? They tried something new and it was a huge success. Bravo to them.
Yeah.
But they compete. To me, the essence of sports is competition. And there doesn't seem to be very much genuine competition in the NBA anymore. It's kind of like, we'll turn it on, we'll turn it off. I need to rest this guy. Michael Jordan played 82 games, 3 straight seasons, I think.
Yeah.
You know, that tenacity is gone. That Kobe killer instinct is gone. And these guys, again, another fatigue for me is these guys are... friends, that's okay. Like last night, you had teammates going against each other for countries,
right?
And they would have fought each other,
no doubt.
They would have checked each other. And you know what? I think in sports in general, this whole little friendliness stuff—it's not for me. I don't like you right now. Right. I might be your friend in the off season, and I think it's in general gone way too far in the NBA. Stoney, you used to rip it.
Oh, yeah.
You know, Jermaine O'Neal and the Pistons would go out to eat before the Malice at the Palace.
Yeah.
You know, it's like that stuff has grown and grown and grown.
I know. And then that, you know, if you want to get deep in the woods, when did that start? That started as far as basketball with all the AAU and then the travel things, because these guys from all over the country get together in the summer and they become friends, which is great.
Right.
But it shouldn't affect the competition.
No, it shouldn't. And, you know, when I was listening to a lot of the talking heads yesterday, P.K. Subban was unbelievable. I thought he hit the nail on the head. And here's what he had to say yesterday about the exact same topic we're talking about.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
The details behind the Diddy indictment. Taylor Swift's stalkers. Jerry Lee trying to kill Elvis. Disgraceland dives into the dark side of entertainment every Tuesday. Follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, and competition, he's absolutely right. And you look at the two sports that where he talks about, you know, playing hurt and playing injured are two different things.
Yeah.
Where guys we know play hurt more than others is football and hockey. I mean, baseball, how many times would guys say, you know, now granted, it's 162 games. I get it. Sometimes guys do need a break, maybe. But back in the day, unless you were really hurt, everybody played 162 or pretty damn close to it.
Right. And it's also the way the sport is designed.
Right.
Right. It's when he talks about their basketball players going through the motions. If you walk onto a football field, or if you go out there on the ice and you're going through the motions, you are going to get hurt.
Yes.
And it's the same. Like we were always told, you know, you either get in the pile or you get away from it. If you're standing around, somebody's going to fall on the back of your legs. They're going to hit you on the side. You're going to get hurt. You can't go out there on a football field or on the ice and just go through the motions because you're going to get your head knocked off.
248-539-9797. We have some ticket text talking, you know, the bump that people might get, hockey might get from, you know, the Four Nations face-off, which Canada won last night in overtime 3-2. And the NBA, which is really getting hammered, not just because of what happened last weekend in the All-Star game, how 30 minutes of basketball was played in a three-hour television program. Just a lot of the lack of competition in a lot of the NBA games. Now, it's one thing about the Pistons. They fight, they scratch, they claw. They don't fall into this category right now.
Right. It's about the intensity that you play with.
Yeah.
It's got to be compelling. It's got to be something that you're interested in seeing, not just a bunch of big dudes running up and down the floor shooting threes.
Yep.
They compete. Like I have enjoyed watching them this year, especially since January 1st. It's entertainment. That's what this is, but it's entertainment through competition. And most teams aren't playing the way. I made this point, John, you know, before the season, I said the Pistons will probably win more games this year if they do what Bickerstaff does, which is actually just come out and try every night, because every team doesn't try every night in the NBA. Think about that. I mean,
well, and when we had JB on before the All-Star break, one of the things that he talked about, we asked him, how do you, with a young team, an inexperienced team, a lot of these guys, your young core players, have never been in the postseason. How do you ensure that they make it from here, being at the sixth spot? Could they possibly get to five or four and stay in a playoff position? And he talked about, and he even mentioned this a day or two ago. It's about focusing on every possession, not just the games, but every single possession. And when you do that, It does create an intensity, and it creates the fact that there's a sense of urgency. When you watch a lot of these NBA teams play, there's no sense of urgency. And right. Maybe they get to the fourth quarter, yes, and it's the final 2 minutes of the game, and they're like, oh, okay, now we're going
to
try.
That's happened to the Pistons two times recently where they had humongous leads, and then all of a sudden it looked like the other team was like, oh, crap, we're way down, and they try to come back, and they were so big in a hole, like 25-plus points, that they couldn't.
Right. But my point is, okay, for the Pistons, I'm going to be watching the entire game because I want to watch the Pistons. And there is something intriguing. For a regular NBA game, if I turn it on, I've turned it off before they even get to that fourth quarter because it's just boring.
Right. I can tell, though, for feedback, though, you know, ticket text, it's just universal. Like, nobody ever texts us and says, let's talk about the Pistons. Nobody ever texts us and says, what they text us is, I'm not watching the NBA. I'm not watching the Pistons unless they get to the Eastern Finals or something like that. So I think what's happened, this team has been such in a rut that people have forgot about them.
Well, they almost lost a generation,
right,
basically, since then. They were when good till where they are now.
Yeah. They're apathetic towards the team.
Yes, which is worse.
But then the city definitely right now has an NBA problem. Like, there is a tone towards the NBA that people are just very turned off in Detroit by it.
But I also don't think it's just unique to Detroit. We know what our issues are here.
Right.
It's been a team that has been unwatchable. It hasn't been compelling. It hasn't been something that people want to invest in. But even in cities where the teams have been playoff teams, it's not like it's unique to Detroit or Southeast Michigan or the state of Michigan. Like, there's an NBA problem across the league.
Right. The teams that are good, you know, the historic, the Celtics, the Knicks, you know, they're always going to, you know, be very popular or whatever in their towns. And those teams, like the Knicks, they play their asses off usually. All right, here's some ticket text. The Pistons would have to be in the Eastern Conference Finals in order for me to watch the NBA. I just can't do it. NBA these days is really bad viewing. I'll watch about 10 Red Wings games a year. If they make the playoffs, I'd for sure watch because playoff hockey is must-see. With that being said, I watched USA-Canada last night. Mm-hmm. That's good. They got some eyes that they usually don't get. As soon as Rieger picked the United States, I knew we were done. He was gloating too a lot on Saturday night. International basketball peaked when Kobe ran through his best friend, Paul Gasol, on the first play of USA-Spain to set the tone and let people know he wasn't there to be friends. He was there to compete and win for our country.
Yeah.
Look, that's we talked about this the other day. Say what you want about Kevin Durant. He won the Olympics for them.
Right.
Not this past Olympics, but the one before.
The 2020, which was played in 21.
Right. What the NHL did was basically the Olympics. Of course it was competitive. The men's basketball team for the U.S. is expected to win, so no one cares if it's competitive. Well, it's been really changing. Competitive. I mean, the Serbia game, when they had to come back, that was one of the – I was going crazy. It was amazing. The gold medal game was really good. The NBA at All-Star Week is the world against the USA. That would solve the intensity problem. Hopefully. I don't know if it would. Because
it's a player issue.
It's an all-star game.
Well, it's a player issue. And I thought it was real rich when you had guys after the all-star experience talking about they were mad at, you know, the commissioner or they were mad at the format. Like, the reason that they're trying all of these things is because originally as players, they weren't putting out.
Mm-hmm. Yep. All I saw was crap. Talking about the U.S., you have to say that, don't you?
Well, they weren't playing hard.
Okay. I thought that was the problem with NBA players.
Yes. All I saw was crap talking about the USA to Canada about winning on Saturday. Then they lose last night. No wonder everybody hates us. Reminds me of a certain college team around here a lot of people don't like. I understand the comparison, the big brother, little brother deal. With
fire up chips.
Michigan and all that stuff. But I don't think people are here. There were people who were crap talking Canada. Yes, obviously.
I think a lot of it was. Sports.
Yes.
Are we not allowed to trash talk?
A lot of it was in good fun,
and
too.
It was. And then when you lose, all right, you allow the other side. to trash talk a little bit.
I can't remember who it was last night, but one of the broadcasters mentioned that these players were treating that game like it was bigger than Game 7 of the Stanley Cup, and that some of them who are playing hurt tonight will not be playing when they return to the regular season. I thought that was pretty cool.
Yeah.
Cameron and Monroe. Yeah, well, even Matthew Tkachuk said that this game was like more important than when he won the Stanley Cup game. I don't know about that, but
so those players that hurt are going to be load managing their next game.
Yeah,
could be.
Biggest takeaway from Four Nations was how great Larkin looked. He did.
Mm-hmm.
The second half of that game, he looked like the best forward on the ice for either team. I gained a lot of respect for him for the tournament. This is Mike from Lake Orion. Did I just hear that commercial? Right, Piston legend Grant Long. Well, there's obviously different definitions of what legend. I was going to ask who's a bigger legend, Grant Long or Hooper. hey, let's talk about the Pistons. Okay. And finally, I stopped going to the massage parlor because they weren't putting out. That's Justin in Baltimore.
You stopped going about 8 years ago.